So Exodus 4, miraculous signs for Pharaoh. Let's read through it and we'll discuss it. Then Moses answered and said, "But suppose that they will not believe me or listen to me, to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you." So the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it to the ground." So he cast it to the ground and it became a serpent. Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." And he reached out his hand and caught it and became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of all the fa of the, their fathers, of the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said, "Now put your hand in your bosom." And he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, his hand. Behold, his hand was leprous, like snow. And he said, "Put your hand in your bosom again." So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom, and behold, it was restored like the other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. And it shall be, if they do not believe even those two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent enough, or neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes you mute? The deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what you shall say." But he said, "Oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put your words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God, and you shall be to him as God, and you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs." So Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Please let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see wherever they are still alive." And Jethro said to Moses, "Go in peace." Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, "Go return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead." Then Moses took his wife and his son and set them on a donkey and returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said to Moses, "When you go back to Egypt, see that you do all these saint wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed I will kill your sons, your firstborns.' And it come to pass on the way to the encampment that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zephon took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of his son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, 'Surely you are a husband of blood to me.' So he let him go. Then he said, 'You are a husband of blood because of the circumcision.' And the Lord said to Aaron, 'Go into the wilderness to meet Moses.' So he went and met him on the mountain of God and kissed him. So Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel and spoke. Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of the people, so the people believed, And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their afflictions, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Wow. So we're continuing a conversation between God and Moses at the burning bush. Moses has received a divine calling, but he struggled with doubt, fear, and feelings of inadequacy. Crying out loud. Throughout this chapter, God patiently answers Moses' concerns and prepares him for his mission. If we walk through this chapter, think about this question. What excuses might be preventing you from fully obeying God's calling today? So God gives signs to strengthen faith, Exodus 4, 1 through 9. Moses asks, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me?" God responds with three signs. The staff becomes a serpent, his hand becomes leprous and is healed, and water from the Nile becomes blood. These were not merely displays of power, they were evidence that God would be with Moses. But what do you think Moses struggled to believe God even after seeing the burning bush? Why does he struggle so much? You're standing by a burning bush, God's speaking to you. Why is there such a struggle? Yeah. Okay. We all feel that way at times. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he gave him everything. He gave him the words to say, he gave him miracles to perform, and he still asked for something else. He still kept denying. Give somebody else the words, right? That's what he said. Huh? Yeah. Who could speak? And he still didn't like it. God does not ask us to trust him blindly. He gives us reasons to believe his promises. So, what signs of God's faithfulness have you seen in your own life? That he does. See, Robert's in here today. Last time I heard about him, he was in an accident. I've seen you since. You gotta put flashers on that thing.
They were right across the crop.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, everybody's agree. What signs of God's faithfulness have you seen in your own life? Okay. Grandchildren that walk with the Lord. Bri and I saw it all week. All week. The mother of my grandchild is back home healthy. And that was nothing more than a miracle. All the whole week. You can't deny God when you see it firsthand. You can't deny God when you're sitting in a hospital in Anchorage, you can feel the prayers. Folks here are praying for you. It does. I think it's weird that we always, I think that I always think about that when, well, how would it be like if to hear the voice of God talking to you? Right now, yeah, right? Duh. Like we should be hearing a voice of God talk to us, right? And now maybe it not come across to us as a voice like I am right now, but it would come across. I mean, he's talking to us, you know? So, and I don't know if that's how it came across to Moses either, if it was how audible it was or, yeah.
This year, you know what the focus and be all set this issue there. Yes, I can get better than
No.
that. I already agree. Then you did
Not a bit. Wait, what? Know, the things, it's funny because things happen in our lives and we think, oh, you know, we have a time frame, right? We get ourselves set a time today, you know. The 22nd, the 29th, whatever the day is, right? And you get that set in your head, and then it changes. God changes that for a reason, right? And we just got to be patient and listen. How can remembering God's past faithfulness strengthen your faith today? How can remembering God's past faithfulness strengthen today's faith? A lot different. Is he different yesterday, today, or tomorrow? Same one who spoke to Adam and Eve. So when fear arises, remember that what God has already done in the past. Past victories become encouragements for present challenges. So God's ability is greater than our limitations. Exodus 4, 10 and 12, Moses says, I am slow of speech and tongue. Moses focuses on his weakness. God focuses on his power. God reminds Moses that he created the human mouth and promises, now go, I will keep you, or I will help you speak, and you will teach what you want to say. Who's ever had a problem speaking in front of people? You want to get it cured? Get up in front of a bunch of people and start speaking, right? The very first, I know Harold was here, Helene was here, Bev was here. That's probably only, oh, Guy was here. I used to teach the, years ago, I used to teach the youth, the teenagers, right? This was back when Pam Cousins' boys were here and Nicholas Corcoran was in my class. And Pam Cousins' old or youngest boy was graduating out of our class. And so I said, let's give him a Bible. Right, that's everybody in the class. We put our names in it and wrote him something. And I had never got up in front of this congregation and said a word. Right, I hid in the background, taught my class, all happy about it. And so I asked Jimmy if we could give him a Bible. And he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. But you can present it. I said, okay, that's no problem, right? And then I get up here, and there used to be a door right here. And that was our Sunday school room. And so we would I we I came out of that room, that door, and I was standing right here, and I came up when Jimmy asked me to. And I presented the Bible to Adam. And then he says, now why don't you pray for him? I just looked at him like, really? But it was that day that I felt comfortable praying for somebody. I stumbled through that prayer, and but it was like no more. It didn't bother me from that point on to pray in front of anybody else. But it was pretty funny. That was Jimmy's way of just, he never really said, okay, we're going to do the Bible and you can say a prayer, because I would have had that in my head. He knew, and he just threw me right out there in the burning bush. Yep. So he what? He did have a way of doing that. So God's calling is not based on our ability, on our ability, but on his ability working through us. What weaknesses or insecurities tend to hold people back from serving God? What weaknesses or insecurities hold us back? What weaknesses or insecurities hold us back from serving God?
Sin.
I would say somebody could do it better and might fail, might offend somebody. They're trained in that area.
Oh. So from a wise brother once told me, what are you going to do if you're trying to talk to somebody and they're not listening? Are you going to send them to hell number two? We're not, right, Reese? We're not going to send somebody to a different hell. They're already going to hell if they're not listening to us, right? So we got to be bold about it. That was his way of getting me to be bold a little bit one time. Right. But who's going to do it if we don't? The same thing with Moses, right? When God would have found someone else, or had a plan for someone else, but he didn't. He knew Moses was going to do this. He just needed to, and it did frustrate God that he was arguing with him. But he just needed to convince Moses and pave that way for Moses, right? And that's what we need to think about. How's our way of getting paved for us to speak to people? It's not easy. We left Fred Meyers today, and a guy was out there asking for something, and I didn't even stop because he looked like a homeless dude to me. Briss up and had a conversation with him. So everybody's got their own different strengths. So we just got to think about that. We got to think about our weaknesses or insecurities, and we got to turn those to God. Why is it easier to focus on our limitations than God's power? Why is it? Yeah. It's easier just to deny it and walk away than to trust that God's going to make you have those uncomfortable conversations. How have you seen God use imperfect people for his purposes? Anybody else want to come stand up here with me? Who else? How have you seen God use imperfect people for his purposes? Yeah, well, yeah. Huh? It's in the, yeah. Who? Yeah. All through scripture.
All his music is pretty and lives and throughout his life, and he got turned around by God, and God used him, and now he preaches. He doesn't wear makeup anymore, and at least preaches the word of God to his friends and family. really should see his testimony. It's incredible. That's absolutely incredible.
What about John that just got saved today? Those of you that came in late, Hawaiian John got saved after church today. What a blessing, right? Not that you were late. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to point that out like that. I'm just saying after we had a conversation before I got here. Yeah, but we've got, I mean, John's imperfect, right? I've worked with John before. He worked on my buildings and amazing turnaround, a completely amazing turnaround for a man.
Hello. You
I know.
like most.
Yeah, long time ago.
You have a great moderator. He's very good. Really fun. So much. It's still good for us, but.
Sure. But that's okay. So we need to remember to stop measuring God's assignment by our strength, measure it by God's faithfulness. So God confronts reluctant. I'm sorry. God conforms reluctant obedience. So finally, Moses says, and this is in 13 through 17, please send someone else. This reveals the real issue. Moses did not merely was is not merely uncertain, he is reluctant. God becomes angry, yet he remains gracious and provides Aaron as Moses' helper. So God is patient, but he calls us to be obedient. What is the difference between honest questions and unwillingness to obey? What's the difference between honest questioning and unwillingness to obey? Ever since God leading you to do something difficult? What was the last thing God led you to do that was difficult?
There, I wasn't really financially prepared to go, but did. I did. First, I mean, leading up to it, actually, as I recall, that wasn't in my mind. Most of my mind take care of me getting appointments and all of those praying, hoping I had someone on the back of the that. But it wasn't my main focus. It came like God was leading me the whole way that I was back. Leading me the whole way.
Don't worry about the timing. God will have that planned, huh? What else? Have you ever sensed God leading you to do something difficult?
More about it than I'll do what I'm supposed to do, but that's still your confidence about it. I'm sure.
Somebody brought out a 45 and shot me. Somebody punched me out. Somebody, whatever thing you created in your head, that's the conversation with people. If you want to say that, it's something you buy or say.
Yep.
Whole context payment. Better than it's imagined it would most times.
Sometimes they're enjoyable too, huh?
Yeah.
Not a scary thing. Sure. But I find it harder to have conversations like this with your family rather than strangers on the street. Unsafe family members.
The hardest thing to do is the right thing to do. Because you always ignore it. You always ignore it. But I think you don't want to do that. You do the right place. You like to make an excuse to do something else and do something away, but this is the right. You kind of know where to come back from. That's got to come from God, too. You sort of know this is the right thing that I do.
You look at Moses' excuses like verse 1 to 13, and then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. How many times have you been to God? Oh my, what this will be so important. I'm going to be Christ. I mean, just a
I hate the thought of making God angry. Right? So why do we resist God's directions? Why do we sometimes resist his directions? Plain and simple, huh?
Because we're too busy looking for our own agenda and our own direction, right?
Yeah.
There's a one of the things they teach us in the rapid response team chat that like the only requirement is obviously people love Jesus, right? They're willing to go to these places times of chaos. But their only requirement really is just be prayed up, no one confesses, love on Jesus and those around you, and then just stay out of the Holy Spirit's way. And I think that is very hard for some people, you know, like, and myself included. Like, sometimes we think, oh, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. We have our own agenda. I think in some way, I kind of hear Moses' agenda. I got Zipporah. I'm doing pretty good here in Minyan. Gershom is growing, right? Like, my father-in-law loves me. The sheep are well taken care of. You know, life is good. He got his own agenda. Right? He's being disrupted right now. And I think the same is true. I know quite a few times in my life, you know, it's we have our own agenda.
Yeah.
Gotta say about one thing with that in front
Oh, yeah.
then, but it makes the day a lot better.
So remember that God may provide support and encouragement, but he still expects obedience. Well, obedience begins with action. Exodus 4, 18 through 23. After all the excuses and questions, Moses finally leaves Midian and begins the journey back to Egypt. God reminds Moses of his mission. Israel is God's firstborn son, and Pharaoh must let God's people go. So faith is demonstrated by movement. Moses' situation did not change when he argued with God. It changed when he obeyed. So why is taking the first step often the hardest part of disobedience? Why is taking that first step often the hardest part?
You know, I mean, did God really say?
Yeah, this is a little different than my normal questions of God, right? I mean, this guy's going from back to Egypt, but it's like I've had a few of those. Had a few of those lately. Really? That's not what I was thinking. Right? Can we talk about this?
First sin. No better than God. David says, you know, as well as God, hear that in our ear, girl, because Satan knows where to attack. That's where to attack. Yeah, I know better than God. Hey, you guys know better. Not this, you do this better than that. It's the monk.
Or maybe I know better enough, I don't even need to pray about it. I'm just going to do what I want to do and not worry about it. You just do your thing and I'll ask for forgiveness.
Sometimes they it. But I finally want to take that first step. You deserve difficult correction, give a solution, go on taking. Realize, and I think that person, I don't know what sent person, please with them. I think a big project for them. Think about it. You just have to start.
Yeah.
You know, I don't plan.
What does genuine faith look like in action? What does genuine faith look like in action? Pretty much. We're all going to fall. So, is there any area where God may be calling you to move forward? Any area? Nope. We're paused right here. Guess I could say, let's think about what area God's calling you to move forward, right? Yeah. Obedience often begins before all the details are known. So verses 24 through 26, God's covenant is serious. One of the most challenging passages in Exodus. God can confronts Moses because his son had not been circumcised according to covenant God established with Abraham. But the situation is resolved. Those who lead God's people must also walk in obedience. Remember that. Those who lead God's people must also walk in obedience. How do you lead somebody when you're not? Where are you taking them if you're not leading them? God's messenger cannot ignore God's covenant. So, why is personal obedience important for spiritual leadership? Why is personal obedience important for spiritual leadership? Pastor Greg can't ask us to all come up here and do this on Sunday nights if he's not willing to do it. Right.
In case is the challenge was his wife, Deborah. She obviously didn't think the circumcision was a good idea. Maybe that's why he had to.
Women leading us astray, is that what you're saying?
He had to obey even by the.
The Lord met him and told the society to put him to death. Then Zipporah took up the and cut on the situation. So she said, well, I mean, it seems that she did it, right? So then maybe she was like, well, this is part of the deal, let's do this. I don't know, maybe it might, maybe I'll read this way off, but. And it looked like she did it. So maybe, I don't know. This is not, I didn't get it. I don't.
There's a note in the Bible here. It says, a midnight practice of circumcision on a groom right before his marriage instead of circumcising male infant. Just before marriage, it seemed to be a shift.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, oops.
Yeah, I was confused about that too, number 24. Who met the Lord and who sought to kill who?
There's a helpful note.
Tom Moses.
Here's the helpful note from this. There's the New King James that says the precise meaning of this passage is unclear.
There you go. Thank you.
It's really quite interesting. I mean, it's there
mm-hmm.
in the Bible, right? Like, is the Lord sought to kill? It says, and it came to pass by the way that the Lord met him. You know,
both.
Met Moses?
Yeah,
Moses. But why? Why the reaction from the wife?
Maybe it was Moses' son.
Yes.
That's who I think it is. It's a son. And that's why she got. Because it was going. Well. Yeah.
Not circumcised.
Right. That's what it sounds like to me, too.
And his family was Indians instead of making them
more
Hebrew. And that's what it's reminding me of.
Right, the place of life.
Well, verse 26. So, Zipporah wasn't happy because he said, you are a husband of blood.
Yeah.
But I the assumption going back to we scared of I see the Moses that we have been the president was informed in essence had saved his family by doing what he could for by circumcising his son.
Wait.
So obviously she didn't want that done.
Yeah, she did
it because she saw the anger of God had.
Yeah, well, that's one. Reading that,
yeah.
If God was seeking to kill Moses, he saw that he wants to do it. He had, somewhere along the line, he probably, Moses probably was struggling. That was part of what it was deeper. Child's supposed to be circumcised in a certain way. She may not agree with it, coming from many at the same point, it was, oh well, something they did. But maybe she did it in anger or whatever. But
this is one of the guys' Bible was
called. Yeah. Unknown. We'll check that box one.
Why would the Lord try to kill Moses? That does not make sense.
Part of the lesson.
I don't believe it's the Lord talking.
I think part of the lesson is no matter who you are, no matter what God has done to or through you, never think that you can't be touched. And there's the point where he had a responsibility to circumcise his child. And his wife didn't want it done. It's unfortunate. There was a payback for the spiritual head of this household. I mean, when the Bible talks about like being able to break the vow of what went harder, there's criteria to how much time you got to do it. But you're taking something upon yourself when that happens. There's consequences to our act.
So you think the Lord's trying to kill Moses here?
Well, I will tell you that my translation in verse 24 says, on the way to Egypt, at a place where Moses and his family had stopped at the night, the Lord confronted him and was going to kill him. That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. My mind goes to David, right? Their the relationship with Bathsheba and they had some, right? And the Lord, I think that I have to look at the scripture, that baby did not live. Because if, you know what I mean, that the whole relationship displeased the Lord. I think that's kind of, I don't know why, my mind goes there, and I really think this was Gershom. And I think Zipporah realized what was going on, because no, I'll do it. I'll do it now. You are a bloody husband to me. You get all this whole blood. And I think it's great because that's a sign that, you know, she's actually willing to allow her husband to be the leader of the family. But I don't know. It's a
joke. Really happy about it.
She wasn't happy about it. She kind of like took a sharp stone, like, whoa, look, a stone.
Yeah. Ron?
Well, there's an interesting point, and I don't know that I could put it, but it doesn't look like Zipporah went to Egypt. It's Zipporah what? That she went on to Egypt with Moses. Right? Because later she's brought up Jethro in the desert. And the implication is that they have been apart since this existence.
Maybe.
And then she says to me, it seems like,
there's a lot of woe in that one. So before God's works, before God works to us publicly, he often works to us privately. So the last set of scriptures is 27 to 31. God conforms his calling through the community. Aaron meets Moses just as God promised. Together they gathered Israel's leaders. The people believed God's message and worshiped him. God often conforms his calling through encouragement and support of others. Moses did not have to carry the mission alone. Why is this community important to fulfill God's purpose? Why is community important to fulfill God's purpose? Okay. Yep. Who has encouraged your faith journey? Who has encouraged your faith journey? Pastors? Okay. I agree with that. I agree with pastors for sure, but I also agree with a lot of the congregation.
Simple conversation. No, I mean, no one to tell them properly. It's a conversation.
Who else? Who has encouraged your faith journey?
Who else do you have? There's nothing. There's nothing. I think that's maybe much best than this is the church family, church, and the church people.
So,
come in and people love them.
I sent out this, who encourages you? I sent out a message when this all happened with my daughter-in-law. I sent the very first message to my dad and mom. And the very second message I sent was to Greg. Why? Why did I not send my brother a message first before Greg? No. Huh? Not in your life. I didn't need my brother knowing what was going on. I needed prayer. And then I knew that my dad and mom would pray and that their church would be praying. And I knew that Greg would let everybody here know that they would be praying. That's the people that encouraged me. How can you encourage someone who is struggling with God's calling? How can you encourage someone else? Yep. Be a Christian around them. You know, it's funny that people, and I've been on the end of it multiple times, and it's with the prayer from this church. People don't realize that you can feel it. One of the first times I ever felt it was when we were in North Carolina with the boys. And you could feel the prayers coming from this church when we were down there doing mission work. Didn't realize it. Didn't realize what was going on. You know, you could feel it. And then with Bria's surgery and with Lizzie's thing this week, you can feel the prayers. And that's an encouragement for me to know. Right? And it's interesting how God puts everything in place, right? Why would her father-in-law fly on a medevac flight with her, not her husband? Right? That was a weird, I got that question a few times. Why would her father-in-law go, not her husband? First of all, her dad's dead, and she is like a daughter to me. Second of all, they couldn't take the baby on the flight. And I don't think my son would have given up that child to save his at that point in time. And so me and him and her made that decision, and she was comfortable with that decision, which was great. That encouraged me that they trusted me enough, that my son trusts me enough to deal with the second most precious thing in his life. I actually had this conversation with Sunday school kids. There's three things in a mother's life that there's three important things, right? The first one's God. When she gets saved, that's one of the most important decisions she'll ever make, or the most important decision. The second one is who she marries. And the third one's her children, right? And so I took hold of the second one for my son, and he had his third one. And it encouraged me that he had the strength to let me do that. So God frequently uses other believers to strengthen and confirm his work in our lives. Any other thoughts or questions?
kept into a discipleship. You know, in other words, ordinary garden variety Christianity isn't about membership, that's discipleship. And that process is so significant, important. We're called to be that. I mean, this is an end of Japan. We need that, no one to receive that. That's a really important part of this relationship. Discipleship.
We'll be Barnabas too.
Paul.
And they're in a covenant relationship, which their position is a part of that intimate covenant relationship. And we serve our hearts against our desires. They have seen the fear. So we'll be part of
So remember these things. God never promised Moses that the mission would be easy. He just promised him he'd be with him. The same promise sustains believers today. It's not whether you feel qualified. It's whether will you trust God who calls you. You have thoughts or question? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do this coming due to this night. Thank you for those that are here, Lord. We thank you for just learning about, Lord, just Moses' assignment. Just working our way through the Bible, Lord. We ask that you would be with each one of us as we do this. We thank you for the lessons that we get, Lord. We thank you for the wisdom and knowledge and just conversations, Lord. We ask that you would protect us as we go home, that you would be with each one of us that couldn't be here tonight. Let me just thank you for the guidance that you give us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.